Have you ever saved all year for that one family vacation and ended up stressed out about every single dollar?
Not anymore. Hi, I'm Mary Ellen.
And I'm Jo. We're two busy moms who have cracked the code on travel with Points and Miles.
We're here to show you how we turn everyday expenses into extraordinary vacations.
This is Wonderland on Points, where we share tips and tricks to help you earn free and deeply discounted travel.
Let the adventure begin. Welcome back to another episode of Wonderland on Points. We are so glad that you are here with us. Today, we're going to talk about something honestly really cool because we have never, in the history of our podcast, which has been over 2 years, I don't think we've ever really discussed the offerings from Wells Fargo. And so today, we're going to dig into that a little bit. We do have a guest on the show today. His name is Kong. You can find him on Instagram at Kong Fi Official. That Fi, F-I, is like finance because he's the finance guru and a nurse, which I just learned, which I was so cool for me to have a fellow nurse on the show. So welcome, Kong. We're so glad you're here.
Hi. Thank you for having me. I'm just actually excited because it's my first podcast ever.
Is it? Oh, we're so excited that we're your first podcast. That's so fun. I want to mention to everybody, they can also find you over on TikTok. You've got quite a large TikTok. It's very impressive.
Thank you. Yeah, I got lucky there. Just kind of stumbled onto things, but now I'm working on Instagram as well.
Yeah, well, your videos are very helpful, really interesting. You tend to have opinions that are very bold and maybe go slightly against the grain. And I really appreciate that because it always keeps us learning new things.
Yeah, I mean, I think once we get into it, I can kind of tell you how I started. And I think that frames how I look at the Points and Miles world in general, because I came in having done it for a very long time, while still kind of being new to social media. So I wasn't quite sure what everyone's already saying and doing in the space.
Okay. Yeah. I'm super excited to hear about it. Why don't we just dig into it? Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into traveling on Points and Miles and then how it kind of shifted to a teaching online kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So by day, I'm a nurse. I'm a registered nurse of 10, 11 years or so. In terms of where I'm at, my wife and I and our five cats live in the Athens, Georgia area.
I have five cats too.
We are the same people. Yes. Outside of that, I think like a lot of people stumbled into Points and Miles. I was getting ready for my wedding around 2017, just, you know, looking at all the expenses. Up to that point in my life, I had one Discover card to my name. Now I've opened like store cards and closed them, you know, like most of us have along the way. I knew nothing of credit. I knew nothing of points and stuff besides my 5% cash back every quarter I got from Discover. That was the extent of my knowledge back then. But, you know, I started looking around. I was like, well, we should get one of those travel cards that people are always talking about. And I fell down the rabbit hole, just learning a little bit about it and learning a lot about it in the span of a year. Most of my, I guess, hands-on training and education came from Reddit. There's a lot of good resources there. Of course, a lot of the travel vlogs at the time and some of the YouTube channels. So I taught myself, and that's how I got hooked and started.
Amazing. What was your very first redemption?
Redemption. So I went pretty hard my first year. I think I want to say I probably opened about 7 cards as building up to the redemption, which was, of course, my honeymoon. We went we did a 2-week Europe trip in 2018, and I was very proud of myself. The entire 14 nights, all the hotels were paid.
Awesome.
As well as our round trip flights. Now they were, you know, economy because it's very hard to do like round trip business.
Yeah, it's
as
expensive.
Y'all know.
Points-wise.
But I was still very proud that I was able to do literally the entire trip off credit cards.
That's incredible. What part of Europe? Just out of curiosity.
Oh yeah, so I mean, you know, the traditional like London, Paris, and Rome. We also did like a 2-day stop in Brussels as well.
What an amazing honeymoon. And to come back and not be loaded with mountains of debt, that's a good way to start out a marriage, I have to say.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I just, you know, as y'all know, like it's about leveraging whatever spend opportunity you have. And I think for a lot of us, wedding expenses are going to be one of the bigger, you know, moments of our life. So I was like, hey, let's put this spend to good use.
Yeah, absolutely.
You have some interesting reels on Instagram that I really caught my eye because you have a very unique points earning strategy that combines something that most of us listening to this podcast know and love, and that's Costco. And you combine buying gold at Costco. I think of a lot of things being sold at Costco. I do not think of gold and precious metals at Costco, but you have a unique way that you buy and sell gold and earn credit card points. And this is a way that you actually earn a ton of points every year. I know this is not going to be for everybody, but I would love to hear a little bit more about it just because it's so unique and interesting.
Yeah. And when I walk into my Costco, there's a big giant sign right when you walk in the door that advertises their $5,000 gold bar. So that hasn't been up for very long. So I'm interested too.
Yes, I'd be glad to talk about it. Before I start, of course, for anyone who listens, please, please know that this is a very risk intensive endeavor.
Yep.
So everything that I'm telling you, please understand that there are a lot of risks and caveats and things that go behind it, but I'll try my best to kind of outline how it works. This is really a recent development. I would say maybe just 2 or 3 years old at most, because I mean, I've been going to Costco for years too, but they haven't started selling till about a few years ago. Hmm. And eventually some of the circles that I'm a part of, they started saying, hey, look, like, there's, you know, online websites that buy it, like long established websites that do it. And eventually some of them started kind of buying it themselves in private groups and chats. So they started kind of being like a broker for gold. And that's how I started, because I didn't think of this stuff. A lot of people have already done the groundwork. But essentially, you buy the gold from Costco. And you try to sell it pretty quickly, because obviously that is a very expensive item. Even when I started, it was like $2,000. Now, of course, $5,000. But I don't have that type of money to float for a very long time. It's not really my investment vehicle either. So for me, the name of the game is try to get rid of it as quickly as you can, knowing that from the time that you buy it, especially if you buy it online, they have to ship it to you. So that usually takes several days to a week. And in that time, you accept the risk that that price could go down and you could end up losing some of that money while you're holding. But hopefully it doesn't go down, you know, too much in the span of a week. And then by the time you sell it, if you're really lucky, you can make a little bit of, you know, some money off of that. But for the most part, you're getting it with the intent of getting a lot of points, right? Because again, you buy just one gold bar now, that's 5,000 points from Costco on a 1X card. You have a 2X card, that's 10,000 points in a month.
Yeah, or and to help you hit a sign-up bonus that you couldn't otherwise hit.
Absolutely, yeah. And of course, again, you know, Costco shoppers know it's Visa only in the store.
So stupid.
And Visa and MasterCard online. So that will limit, you know, what kind of cards you can use the strategy for. But essentially, you know, you buy the gold and then your next step is just trying to sell it. There's websites online, but typically I just go through private buyers and such. I'm trying to work on a guide for it because like y'all said, like a lot of people have reached out to me to, you know, talk more about it. And I've always been reluctant because I don't want to have a role in getting people in a precarious situation.
Yeah.
Like I love the hobby. I do a lot of things for myself, knowing that I accept those risks. But for others, like I feel a sense of responsibility if I have any type of platform and I don't want to get them in trouble. So I'm working on developing something like that to hopefully help people down the line.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a cool opportunity, but precious metals are so volatile with their value. So people do need to be very careful. But if you're willing to take a little bit of a risk, if you have the margin for a little bit of risk, it's kind of a fun idea to try out. I would specifically want to do it, I think, to hit one of those sign-up bonuses, you know, on those cards that I could never hit the sign-up bonus on with my family spending.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I think the last one I used it on was the Venture X card, because even like I'm a frugal person, like trying to hit, I think it was a 10,000 spend requirement.
It's hard.
That would have been nearly impossible unless we put everything we had on it. So,
yeah. Yeah. I used to do buying groups and I stopped because they were getting more and more and more and more complicated. And I was like, you know what? It's one of these days a computer's going to go missing and I'm going to be out $1,000. And so I gave up on it. But that was what helped me hit a lot in the beginning.
So I will say I also have experience with buying groups. I don't know if that's something that we want to dig into too much, but I understand. Yeah, I understand. And I've been burned doing buying groups for, and again, any for people involved, I always like to tell y'all like the dangers of doing some of the stuff is I've definitely lost packages and I've had to fight with Amazon and stores. And sometimes I've had to eat, you know, a loss of hundreds of dollars. And that's why I eventually got out of it.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So everybody proceed with caution. That's all. We'll leave it right there. You guys can go down your own rabbit holes on this one.
Okay, let's get into Wells Fargo a little bit. You know, Wells Fargo is not talked about a lot in the online points circles on Instagram, you know, the sound bites. You don't see a lot of Wells Fargo, but it's been more so in the news lately because it was an option for Bilt users. If you had Bilt 1.0, you could convert your card to the Wells Fargo autograph card. And so people started, you know, looking the card up a little bit more, considering it as one of their options with their Bilt situation. And I thought you posted a reel about, and I thought, you know what, this is something that this is a card that deserves a conversation for everybody in points and miles, not just the people who had that option with Bilt. So let's chat about it and tell me, what do you like? Because there were some things you brought up on a reel online about liking about the autograph card, regardless of how you get it. What are a few of the best benefits that you've noticed?
Yeah. So, I mean, like you said, I think it's a blind spot for a lot of people because we all focus on, you know, the big four or five that are in the points and miles space. And I think in my research, I found that it's a relatively new product line. They didn't even launch it till I think 2024. Mm-hmm. And so maybe for some of us who started prior to that point, it just wasn't something that we think a lot about.
Yeah.
And even me, like I was wrong about it. Someone made a comment and I said, well, they don't even have transfer partners. And someone's like, no, they do. And I was like, oh, I need to actually look into this and research this. So, if we're talking about the base card, which is what I think everyone at this point has now been converted to from Bilt 1.0, it's a no annual fee card. And for a no annual fee, I was truly impressed with what I found with some of the earning structures and the transfer partners. So the most unique, I think, practically useful feature I found on it was a cell phone coverage. Like, I don't see that on a lot of cards. As long as you're paying your phone bill with it, you can put in a claim if you have damage or theft to your phone, and they will reimburse you up to $600 twice. So two different claims, if heaven forbid that happened to you in the same year. So that in itself, I think, is already very useful for a lot of people. It's kind of, you know, people pay for Apple Care or phone insurance. And I was like, this is something that could help offset mm-hmm. a lot of that. Of course, there's no annual fee. It's great. No foreign transaction fee. So it's practical if you're traveling and you just want to swipe one card. It's Visa. So, you know, it's very easy to use across the board. But where it really took me by surprise was first the earning structure. It has 3x on a lot of practical areas for people. It has things like hotels, flights, dining, gas, streaming, phone, and transit. So really everything wow. except groceries. If you put groceries on there, I think it would cover pretty much most aspects of our life. So
yep.
for a no annual fee card to get 3x on so many practical daily life areas, that's already huge. Even if that was, if it ended at cash back, I'd be like, hey, 3x cash back is actually, you know, above the standard. But then you learn there's transfer partners. And I think a lot of people can overlook it because it is, of course, not like the most, you know, comprehensive list if we're comparing it to Bilt or Chase or Capital One. But there's a few good ones there. We can certainly dig into it a little bit. But just the fact that they had transfer partners, it blew my mind because I know we always talk about, you know, get the best value. You want to transfer. Don't use a portal. And they give you plenty of options that I think could help a lot of people.
Yeah, I was very impressed with several of the things you mentioned as well. We were laughing before recording because Joanna and I were talking about the card.
Separation.
And the very first thing you brought up with the cell phone coverage. So the fine details on that made us laugh because it says get up to $600 of cell phone protection against damage, theft, or unintended separation from your phone. And then we go to like the fine print and we're like, unintended separation. And it's like in really bold letters, like, this benefit does not cover cell phones that are lost, i.e. mysteriously disappear. So we were just joking about, what? Okay, well, what are the scenarios? Do you call and say, I was unintendedly separated from my phone? I didn't lose it, but...
Just an unintentional separation. Definitely not lost.
That's funny legal talk that they just threw in there that I'm sure they can hide behind.
Of course. Oh, yeah, of course. For sure. Let's do a list, I think, of the transfer partners and maybe some sweet spots.
Yeah. So there's a lot of airlines. It covers Aer Lingus, Air France. I'm not sure if I'm saying this right, but Avianca, Life Miles, British Airways, Iberia, Virgin Atlantic. And there's one hotel option, which is Choice Hotels. I'm pretty sure a lot of us are already familiar, especially with Virgin Atlantic, with British Airways and Air France. I think a lot of people in the deal space are, you know, used to taking advantage of some of those promos that they have. I will say, speaking of promos, the one disadvantage of the Wells Fargo, as far as I saw, there has not been any type of transfer bonuses. I know a lot of other banks have that. So, of course, you can always argue that, you know, you do get more out of your miles if you're getting an extra 20, 30, 40% when you transfer your points out. So maybe one of the reasons Wells Fargo is not as much out there is they don't have those promotions where you get extra, you know, percent for your Wells Fargo points. But in terms of the standout, I mean, obviously, you know, Virgin will always stand out because you can book Delta flights for pretty cheap. Air France can do similar. British Airways, you can book some of the American Airlines flights with that. So there's ways to hit all of the big alliances. But I think for me, I was most taken back by the Choice Hotels because is a rare 1 to 2. So every Wells Fargo points, you get 2 Choice Hotel points. And I looked it up. The other banks don't really do that. Citi does. Citi is the only other one where you can transfer 1 to 2. But I was really surprised some of the other ones only gave you a 1 to 1. And I think because of that, again, Choice was a blind spot for me. I have never stayed with points at a Choice hotel, and I never thought about redeeming it that way, probably because I have the other points. I'm like, well, 1 to 1, why would I do that? You know, but in this case with Wells Fargo, the 1 to 2, I think, gives you tremendous value if you have some redemptions in mind.
Yeah, and people will remember we did a whole episode about Norway and Choice Hotels in Scandinavia. Those are a real sweet spot for redeeming Choice points. They're very affordable. They have amazing free breakfasts. I will link the episode below. But yeah, anytime you can get that 1 to 2, I mean, it just, it's amazing how far it goes. And I was looking it up. If you're not being transferred to this card from Bilt, right now the Autograph card, the no annual fee one, has a 20,000 point sign up bonus, and the Autograph Journey, the 95 annual fee, has a 60,000 point. So they're not huge in the grand scheme of like all the sign up bonuses that we can get, but it's a little something. And they do have some really valuable transfer partners. And like you mentioned, those spending categories are just fantastic.
Oh yeah. So in my research with where to do redemptions, I found some really good Choice Hotels in Japan.
Ooh,
there were
yes.
some that you could have for 10,000 points. So that's 5,000 Wells Fargo points. Even from the bonus of, you know, the regular base card, 20,000 points, that's 4 nights in Tokyo, like from that. So if you got the Autograph Journey, you could practically spend like almost 2 weeks there. Wow. You know, so that I thought that was crazy. And I think it's something that I'm going to consider as someone who is, you know, past 524, like I'm not really looking to stay under. I think it's a very valid option for people to consider. And we can talk more about the Journey card because it does have slightly different earning structures as well from the base one.
Yeah, I was going to bring that very question up to you is, do you see a scenario where this card is worth it to take up a 524 spot? And like you said, a lot of people just, you know, 524 is kind of a thing of the past for them and it doesn't matter. But if someone is very conscious of that, would this still be a valid option? And I think if you have a specific redemption in mind, like the Choice Hotels, I mean, I personally am going to Norway this summer. I'm staying in all Choice Hotels that I booked with a Citi card with that 1 to 2 ratio. And that was my purpose in getting the Citi Strata Elite, is I knew that was my plan. This card opens up a no annual fee option to get you a chunk of points for Choice Hotels. So I mean, in my mind, I definitely can see a situation. I don't know. What about you? If someone's really trying to stand or 5 for 24, do you still think this card could be worth it?
I think in select cases it can be. And I think, like, you know, the brilliant way that you paired it with Citi, I think if someone has a plan and say, hey, look, I am going to use Citi points, whether that's with the Premier or the Elite, you've already got a good chunk of points there. If you want to say, hey, look, now I want to supplement that with the Wells Fargo Autograph Journey, that's another 60,000 points. You can do a lot, you know, mm-hmm. with that. So I think if you were to pair it with one of the Citi cards and say, hey, this is part of my plan, it's for a very specific redemption, I know I want to use it for something like Choice Hotels, I think in that case, you should definitely use a 524 slot. Now, if you were just kind of getting it without a definite plan, I would probably put it lower on the list of things to consider, though.
Yeah. Absolutely. There was one thing before we move on to the benefits and the spending structure on the journey, the autograph, the no annual fee one. One of the other benefits it comes with that we did want to note that we thought was pretty cool is the roadside assistance. And that comes with like a tow up to 5 miles. They'll deliver you fuel. They'll get you into your car if you get locked out of it. They'll give you a jump start. Like this, these are all very useful things that a lot of us pay for AAA every year just to have very similar things. And this no annual fee card just gives it to you. That's a great benefit, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. I remember briefly seeing that, but not in the much detail as you described, because I was like, oh, how much will they really, you know, actually do for you? Like, I saw the roadside assistance, but you taught me something new, because I used to have that type of benefit from, I think, the Amex Platinum years ago, but then mm-hmm. they essentially got rid of it. Like, I remember I had to use it once, and I didn't pay anything to, you know, have my car towed. But it's really great to see that from a no annual fee card versus a nearly $900 card that doesn't even have it anymore.
Yes, that's a big difference.
It's interesting. You were reflecting on, and we all were, how this card is just not as well known. And it is younger, right? Only a couple years old, this program. But I think a lot of it, and I'm going to be very transparent here with listeners, as people who, you know, talk about these things on Instagram, a lot of creators talk about cards that they have an affiliation with, cards that they can get paid for. And if people don't have an affiliate link for Wells Fargo, they're less likely to tell you about it. And here at this podcast, we don't even have any affiliate links anymore. We only have our personal links. So if you ask us for a link, we are literally sharing with you our personal link for a card that we have, and we're very appreciative of that when you do. We very much appreciate it. But we don't have any kind of affiliate link or, you know, anything for Wells Fargo, but we still felt like it was important to talk about it because there is definitely value to be had here. So let's move into the other card, which is the Wells Fargo Autograph Journey card. So the regular autograph card has no annual fee. The Journey card has $95 as the annual fee. So let's talk a little bit about what you like about that card and its earning structure in comparison to the regular autograph card.
Yeah. So first of all, off the bat, I learned that you're essentially getting a discounted annual fee, even though it is $95. It comes with a very small but pretty easy to use airline credit of $50. From what I read, you can just book with an airline directly and you'll get a $50 statement credit. I think that's very easy for anyone to use, like book any flight you want, any airline. So you're already starting off with just $45 annual fee for the year. And for that, I think you get a lot of benefits that, you know, line up with a lot of the other mid-level travel cards. But really stood out to me, again, I was surprised the more I researched, I did into this, you get 5x on hotels and 4x on flights, which is a lot higher than some of the other ones, which tend to get maybe 3. You can get, you know, 5x and select things with Amex Platinum, but 4 on flights and 5 on hotels is huge. And then you still get 3 on dining. So I think there's a case to be made if you do want to just kind of keep it simple with one card and you're still a frequent traveler, but you still have life expenses, this is something that I think the Autograph Journey could fill, because again, remember the 4 and 5x, it's not just cashback. It's 4 or 5x with useful points that you're getting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really interesting. Can people hold both of these cards, or is it one or the other?
I want to say that you can hold both. The only thing that I saw when I was looking around was that you do have to wait 6 months between the two of them at the bare minimum. It's one of their little fine prints when you apply. It's like, hey, you cannot have gotten a Wells Fargo card in the last 6 months.
Between those two cards, I mean, that's a great spread for everyday spending.
Yeah, absolutely. It covers a lot. I think, honestly, like, because the only thing that they're missing, like I mentioned, is groceries. So if you already have a good groceries card, you know, something like Amex Gold, this could be a fantastic like dual setup. But I know, like Marianne Ellen said, like it's really good to pair with the city for some of the overlapping ones. So that could also be a really good pairing too with the Autograph Journey.
One other note with the Journey card before we move on, because we're going to talk about some other in the news items, but the cell phone protection. So the regular Autograph card, remember we said, was $600 of cell phone protection, but the Journey card is $1,000 of cell phone protection. So keep that in mind. That's a really nice thing for especially such in the age of every single travel credit card becoming an elite high annual fee travel credit card. I can appreciate that the $0 and $95 annual fee cards have such a great thing because we all have cell phones. They're all expensive and we all lose them and damage them all the time. So that could come in really handy. Okay, let's switch gears and transition to some hot news in the points and miles world. We, Joanna and I, because I was in South Africa for a couple weeks, we kind of batch recorded some episodes. And so a lot has happened in the last few weeks since we've recorded. And one of the really big notable things is the Chase Sapphire Preferred and Chase Sapphire Reserve rule changes. Kong, tell us about it because it's so exciting.
It is very exciting. I honestly wish it was shouted out from the rooftops from everyone. And this, to me, this is one of the biggest positive and kind of rare changes you're seeing from Chase, because I believe this was last summer-ish is when they dialed it back initially, is when they did the refresh for the CSR. And basically they're like, hey, sorry, we're lumping these two cards together. You're getting one bonus. You can pick one once in a lifetime, any Sapphire. And I think that was, you know, it was a big choice for a lot of people to make at that point. But now they seem to have dialed it back and said, hey, well, if you've gotten the Preferred, we're going to let you get the Reserve bonus and vice versa. It has been out for, I believe the memo went out 2 weeks ago at this point. And I have seen data points from either, you know, people commenting, message me, as well as different Reddit forums. People are confirming indeed that if you have held one of the Sapphire cards and you've never held, this is a very important point, you cannot have product changed into one. So if you have held the Sapphire Preferred at any time, whether you changed into and opened it, you cannot get the Preferred bonus again, but you can get the Reserve bonus. So I think this is huge for a lot of people. Again, if you're still under 524, if you want to, you know, pay that annual fee on the Reserve for the big bonus, I think just having that option is now great for a lot of people who want to have more Chase points.
Yeah, absolutely. It was very exciting to see, although I'm not anywhere close to wanting to spring for that annual fee yet. I know there's going to come a point where I'm so depleted on Chase points and Rakuten and Bilt I probably don't have status with anymore, and I'm not getting the one-to-one transfer there. And at that point, we'll see if my budget wants to sustain that kind of annual fee. It's just nice that there's an option there.
Yeah, in a hobby where I think, unfortunately, you know, all the banks kind of tighten the screws and, you know, take away some of the opportunities and different options that you can get, it's a rare bit of good news. I would encourage people to look into it maybe sooner than later, because you never know. Never know when they can change their mind again and say, hey, sorry, that was like a 6 month thing and we're done. So
yeah, that's terrifying. But you know what? That's part of the game. It's the risk we take. Okay, one more thing in the news before we move on to our wrap up. Talk to us about any notable transfer bonuses happening right now.
Yeah, I think the best one going on right now is from Capital One, and you can transfer to Japan Airlines for an extra 30% extra bonus when you do that. And with that, you almost get a 1-to-1 ratio. So it's 975 to 1,000. So it's pretty close. And I think, of course, everyone wants to go to Japan. And I think if you use Japan Airlines directly, you're going to get first dibs before some of their partners like Cathay Pacific and British Airways. So if you have a lot of Capital One points and you've got some plans for Japan, definitely consider it. I will point out a caveat. Someone pointed this out to me a few days ago. You have 3 years from the moment that you transfer your points into Japan Airlines before they expire. So hopefully you can redeem it in the next 3 years. It's a very long time, but there is an end date to that. So you cannot have it indefinitely.
Yeah, it's always good to be aware of expiration dates for sure. I think that this transfer bonus is really the only time that I would be interested in making this transfer because it's too hard for me to watch my points disappear. Like to watch them get less valuable is excruciating. So, and I've seen lots of really interesting Instagram videos about people taking advantage of this transfer bonus, and some of the redemptions are definitely worth looking into.
Yeah, for sure. I was lucky enough to fly on Japan Airlines last year. I booked it through Cathay Pacific. I don't have as much Capital One points, but it is fantastic. If you're going there and you want to treat yourself to a bougie business class flight, like Japan Airlines was tremendous.
Oh, that sounds fun. Now pairing it with Choice, my daughter's been begging to go to Japan. So I'm like, how can we put these two things together? But I already have 9,000 trips on the books this year. I need to pump the brakes a little bit and stop trying to
pace
plan
ourselves,
things.
Joe.
Yeah, I know. I'm not good at that. That ADHD impulse just takes off.
Before we wrap up, though, tell us where points and miles are taking you this year. What are some of the trips that you have on the books for the upcoming year?
Oh, yeah. So funny enough, I like to say that I really focus more on the points accumulation and almost hoarding. Like I love, you know, keeping the moniker and saying it all the time on my videos, like points millionaire. And I'm like, I know some people say you should be using that, but you shouldn't be sitting on a million points. Not too many at this time. I think it's okay for me to say this by the time this comes out. I'm probably leaving my job in a week. So I may be trying content creation full time for a little bit.
Nice.
Because of that, we are dialing back our trips. I know for a fact we're going to go to Universal in Orlando. I married a theme park girl. I've never been to theme parks before in my life. Now it's Disney and Universal on alternating years. So we're due for Universal with their new parks for sure. And if we can swing it, I would love to do some type of, you know, like warm coastal Europe. Like we've never done that. Like I, for all this travel points talk, I really haven't done too many big international trips. Like a lot of our trips are like 1 to 2 domestics a year. And we plan one big international one a year. So I would love to go back to Europe, whether that's Italy, Greece, France. If y'all have any suggestion, recommendations,
Portugal,
I'm open
might
to
be
it.
Nice. Portugal, they call it the Hawaii of Europe.
Yeah. So anything like that, anything just kind of warm, beachy, chill vibes. I still need to do some research into that, but that's really about it for the time being. But I'm sure it'll get filled up as the year goes on.
Absolutely. Especially when you're sitting on that many points, you can kind of, and you don't have like kids in school that you have to worry about. You can just kind of make those spur of the moment, like, let's grab this great deal and just do it. I love that. Also, you might want to check out, we did an episode about Spain recently that I found, Granada, Spain specifically, I found very compelling as far as like a warm, fun destination. It was a really good episode. Maybe I'll link that in the show notes too, since I mentioned that to everybody.
No, that would be great.
Well, remind people where they can find you online, especially since you're going to be diving more and more into content creation. So share with us again where they can find you.
Yeah, so I am mostly my followers are on TikTok. I have about 40,000 there. So I've started to try to focus more on Instagram as well. So it's KongFi Official on Instagram. I think it's just KongFi on TikTok. And another thing I'm trying to do, because I think the credit card points and churning and all that stuff is something that requires long form explanation. There's just too much nuance and detail. And y'all know this, it's so hard to convey a useful amount of information to someone in 90 seconds or 60 seconds. So I've started to do YouTube as well. I'm trying my best to do at least a few videos each month and trying to cover topics like the autograph card more in detail so that people can, you know the inside outs of it. So whether you want to find me on YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, KongFi, I think I'm the only one there. I've ratted out all of my fake profiles and gotten them taken, which is crazy that I discovered a few years ago. I was like, why do people want to pretend to be me? Like, I'm not a big deal. Right. Yeah. You made it when you have some fake profiles, but, I really want to work on YouTube because I think it is a big education piece and really kind of lay out structure and caveats to people, because it's a great game. On social media, it seems like it's grandiose and easy. There's always so many details that can trip people up, and that's the last thing I would want to happen to people who are, you know, excited about this hobby like we all were when we first discovered it. It's like, please be careful. There are some things that can trip you up. You could lock your miles in a certain place that you can't get back. You could, you know, cost yourself the opportunity to get another card down the line because you didn't know. So, so please keep a lookout for more like long form content for me as well.
That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, obviously we're pretty passionate about long form content over here. So I love that you are doing that. I think it is the best way for people to learn. I will make sure to link your TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube in the show notes below. Everybody can go find them there. Make sure you are following Kong. He is a wealth of information. Also, make sure you guys join us in our Facebook group and over on our Instagrams. Make sure you're following the show. Leave a rating and review. All of the things that helps us get in front of more ears. It's the best way you can support the show. And thank you, Kong, for being with us today. We appreciate you.
No, thank you, ladies, both. I was in great hands for my first podcast. This was so good. Much fun. And honestly, just nice to talk to other people who love this hobby and want to help other people.
We feel the same way.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you so much for joining us for today's episode. We hope you learned something new and feel inspired to plan your next trip.
Remember, we're travelers sharing our experiences, not financial advisors. So always do your own research and make informed decisions.
If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to like, subscribe, and follow so you never miss a Points and Miles tip.
We'll see you next time on Wonderland on Points.